This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Brian brought us in transit back from training camp. Salute to him. Maybe the greatest run that any individual has ever put in the history of Cowboys training camp from our 105.3 The Fan staff from beginning to end. And salute to his sponsor out there, Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass, for helping him stay out there and cover it. Okay, brought us back tomorrow with a big batch of takeaways from today's practice. It was the final padded practice in Oxnard. Cowboys about ready to enter that final stretch to week one. But right now, it is time for Zach Wolchuk to take us around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. And here he is, Zachary.
All right, let's hit some baseball first, then we'll move into some football, shall we? But Justin Verlander did get his first start since he came off the IL, and this is his first appearance since June 9th. He'd been out with that stiffness in his neck for the Astros. He threw 76 pitches after tossing 52nd in his second rehab start last Thursday, ends up going five innings, and he had six punch-outs, allowing two runs on four hits in a 4-1 loss to the Boston Red Sox. So, Astros lose, Rangers win. Today certainly was a good day. Verlander, though, afterwards saying he felt good. I felt the stuff was pretty good, and as the game went along, the location started to hone in, and the mechanics felt good. So he was happy about it. But this ties into Max Scherzer, former teammate of his. He is going to pitch for the Rangers against the White Sox next week. So Boch was talking before the game there at Globe Life Field that his rehab start in Frisco, everything's going well. He's going to knock that out, and then they're anticipating him to join the club and pitch next week against the Chicago White Sox in Chi-Town. So, hey, you'll get Gray back into the rotation, Scherzer back into the rotation, and honestly, this is the time to be going to Frisco to check out some Rough Rider baseball, because you're going to get rehab starts. You're going to get a Rocker start, you're going to get a DeGrom start, and you're going to get a Scherzer start. That's kind of, count me in. I'll go out and watch those three arms.
Yeah, there's not that many interesting things left in this baseball season, unfortunately, but, you know, Rocker, DeGrom, to a lesser extent, Scherzer, and then to a bigger extent, the Astros. I think rooting against the Astros now becomes quite interesting and quite fun here.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to give a shout-out to Louisville five-star offensive tackle Michael Fasusi. He is committed to Oklahoma. He was the third-ranked recruit in the Dallas area, had more than 44 Division I offers. So he had the Longhorns, the Aggies, the Sooners. They were all vying for the five-star tackle from Louisville, and OU ends up landing him. And he's the number three offensive tackle, 12th-ranked overall player in the country, 6'5", 295 pounds. So the fighting farmer will be taking his talents to Norman. And he was talking about the long lineage of outstanding Oklahoma offensive linemen that have transitioned to the NFL, Lane Johnson being one, and hopefully most recent, Tyler Guyton of your Dallas Cowboys. So shout out to Michael Fasusi of the Louisville Fighting Farmers for making that decision to go to Oklahoma. Pretty badass.
Heck yeah. God dang, could you imagine being 17 years old, 295 pounds?
Dude, it's insane. Whew. I mean, it is absolutely insane, the size of some of these
beast.
Kids. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, speaking of size, Cowboys added some more beef in the middle. We broke this about half an hour ago. Cowboys are finalizing a deal per Josina Anderson to bring in defensive tackle Linville Joseph. I saw Mike Garofolo saying that the sources tell him it'll be 2.5 million guaranteed. He can earn up to $4 million as he reunites with defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer. I mentioned Paul Gunther had been keeping tabs on him as well. So, I mean, this is a dude who's 330 pounds, about 6'4", big boy in the middle. Now you've got Jordan Phillips, you've got Linville Joseph. Phillips can give you a little bit of a rotation at one tech or three tech. Linville Joseph is a true one tech in the middle that gives you that insurance that you lost with Jonathan Hankins that you now have again for Mozzie Smith. And then, of course, Osa Digizua, your starter. But you're feeling much better than we were a week ago about what the Cowboys have in the middle of that defensive line.
Absolutely, man. My goodness, this guy is he's a monster physically. Him and Phillips together, that is, especially with Phillips apparently being a little bit more of a three technique than a one technique based on the things that we've heard, like it's perfect to bring him in. And now, I mean, $2.5 million guaranteed. They were serious about bringing him in.
Yeah,
they weren't messing around. This wasn't like, oh, because he was a veteran, you know, veteran minimum type deal. They're giving him legit money to come in here, and I would imagine that's a guy who's going to be mostly your first and second down one tech.
I mean, this defense has the potential to be really, really damn good now. I mean, when we were looking at it like that might be your biggest weakness, I think that in the middle now, your run defense, you're feeling better about. And then the edge, I mean, we talked about, I think they've sacrificed pass rush, but they've gotten better when it comes to run defense on the perimeter by adding a guy like Marshawn Nyland. You lose Dorrance Armstrong, you lose Fowler, who were really good get-up-the-field rushers, but they would sometimes not be able to set the edge and contain, which is why they would get beat on the perimeter at a very, very high clip. You got Tank, you got Nealand, you know they're pretty good at that responsibility. You move Micah Parsons around, they're probably going to have to blitz more than we certainly saw under Dan Quinn with guys like Eric Kendricks, Maris Liufau to try and generate pressure. But I'm almost like, I'm okay with that, sacrificing what you've got in terms of elite pass rushers. Maybe Carl Lawson, who they added, can help out a little bit of that. I think that's still a question depth-wise. Mm-hmm. But what Mike Zimmer's kind of able to do schematically, I think he can generate pressure by blitzing and the double A gap pressure that he's famous for and we've talked about. I mean, this defense, I think, as good as it has been under Dan Quinn, some of their weaknesses I think Mike Zimmer can now make and correct, and they can end up being a strength, which is scary for a unit that we've talked about being one of the best in the league for the last 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the big questions are now, like, can you get pressure with four? Like, the Micah being healthy and playing a lot is going to be huge, because otherwise, yeah, you're depending a ton on manufacturing pressure, which Zimmer can totally do. And then just the attrition of the season and the lack of depth in some areas, particularly on the defensive line and at the edge, I think that's a little bit concerning. But otherwise, the run defense is going to be absolutely better than last year, and maybe even top half of the league.
I'm with you, man. I'm down the way of seeing a path to glory for this team. Maybe not all the way to the Super Bowl, but, you know, you have the offensive linemen, the young offensive linemen playing well. If they can continue to get better through the first half of the season and this team is in a weak division, I believe that they could win. I mean, by the time you get to January, if this team stays healthy, now you've taken care of a big part of the run game, adding the other players that they have, Lawson and the defensive tackle. It's not Simmons, it's...
Phillips.
Yeah, Phillips. Man, if you would go back to the start of training camp, like, this is a lot of the stuff that we needed to see. Like, good linebacker play, good young offensive lineman play, fixing the run game. And what Zimmer's going to do is he's going to take care of all the fundamental parts of defense to make sure you have a solid foundation, and then he's going to scheme to get pressure in ways that also confuses the offense. You know, there's not a lot of teams playing the Dan Quinn style of defense anymore, because offense are so sophisticated and so good at getting the ball out that if your plan is just to pin your ears back and rush a bunch, they're going to figure that out, and they're going to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand oftentimes before anybody on the edge can even think about getting there. So, you know, I think this moves much more in line with how the best defenses are doing, and now we have a chance with Diggs healthy, with, you know, some of the young guys coming along to be better and be more fundamentally sound. It's just a matter of, will you be able to get all the pressures, and will, could we still get a ton of interceptions? And if the interceptions happen, boys, this is about to get really fun. Now, I just hope that if this does come together, the Cowboys look at the trade deadline as an opportunity to push this thing over the top, because I know they're up against the cap this year and next year. But dang it, Cowboys, get excited if this thing really starts to come together. And I think Linville Joseph might have just been that final piece that came in this afternoon.
Yeah, the 9-4, like, I'm not getting my hopes up. Joseph is 35 years old, wasn't very good last season. I mean, he's just back with two coaches that know him very well, that have gotten the most out of him. I'm not expecting the player that he was even 5 years ago, but you're talking about a big body who is now a rotational piece, where they were about to be relying on a seventh rounder in Justin Rogers, possibly as their starting one tech at defensive tackle, because they have so many questions about Mozzie Smith right now. It's a massive improvement depth-wise over what they've had. I don't think this guy's going to be giving you 30 to 40 snaps a game, but as a rotational piece for you, I'm excited about the upgrade there in Linville Joseph.
Yeah, he's a professional gap clogger. I mean, that's what he is, and he is an upgrade of what you had. So I think for the most part, like the Lawson signing, this one, Phillips, all that are upgrades for a defense that needed it desperately.
Another potential upgrade, and you know, I saw this a couple of years ago, and a couple of days ago, I immediately thought, like, okay, could this be a guy that you add to the running back room? Miami was a team I was monitoring about, okay, their depth at running back. They drafted my guy Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. They've got Devon Achan. They've got Raheem Mostert. They're really deep at that position. Jeff Wilson Jr., a North Texas guy that we love, but they went ahead and made the move to cut one of their speedy running backs already, and it's Salvin Ahmed, who gave them pretty good run a couple of years ago when he had to step in and start for them, had a dominant preseason a year ago, but he ends up being cut probably because there's just too many runners in that room. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy brings you a little bit of juice, brings you a little bit of pop, averaged 4.3 yards per carry, and over four seasons with Miami, he's appeared in 38 games, and anytime he's played, he's played pretty well, and it's a guy that hasn't had to touch the ball a ton, so you know that he's relatively fresh. I wonder if that's a name they'd consider. Eric, I know, you know, just based on your family, you've probably seen quite a bit of Salvin Ahmed.
Solid player. Definitely a solid player. Definitely a guy that, when healthy, is probably a guy that is, he would be a top three running back on this Cowboys team for sure. I do know he's been dealing with a foot issue for probably the better part of the last, like, 9 months, and so I don't think he got as much opportunity throughout this preseason and training camp with the Dolphins because of that. And so that would be a huge question there. But when healthy, yes, I think he would be absolutely a guy you would want to kick the tires on bringing in here, because I think he would be – I know Zeke's your starter, but I think he is actually better than Zeke, and probably right around a Rico Dowdle type capability.
Yeah, I saw he ran a 4.62 40, which means he's definitely faster than Zeke.
Yeah. Wow, by a mile, too.
Oh, man. And our hope is Rico Dowdle is predominantly your starter this year, but the health issues are the big question with Rico. So I'm wondering. I mean, we keep hearing the Malik Davis stuff. Deuce Vaughn looked good the other night. Can that carry over into the actual regular season? Does he end up being a dude they try and get onto the practice squad? I don't know. But that's still, now that defensive tackle, they've added two more players. That running back's the one where you're like,
that's
man.
The one spot.
Because I know you're not finding an offensive tackle that you feel great about on the streets. If one becomes available, it's because he's not very good. Teams aren't giving up offensive tackle depth. That's a huge weakness right now. But running back's one where you might be able to find somebody that can come in and really give you some added value. Last thing I wanted to get to here, Eric, we did touch on this, and then we had the Linville Joseph news. But Brian Flores, he responded to Tua. And while you were out, you know, we broke down Tua's comments. We played the audio on the Levitard show. You know, he said, hey, basically, to put it in simplest terms, if you wake up every morning, someone tells you that you suck at what you did and that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here and this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you're the best fit for this, you're accurate, you're the best whatever. it's a night and day difference. And Tua was just being honest. I think people in Miami knew about the Flores-Tua deal, but Brian Flores took to the podium there in Minnesota and responded to what he felt about Tua's comments.
That hit me in a way that, you know, wasn't, I wouldn't say it was, you know, positive for me. But at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? You know, how can I be better? That's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like, you know, that's me? No. But, you know, how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not, you know, the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores?
Well, I mean, he attacked it head on. I mean, I believe they had like two Vikings players come out and stand next to him as like a show of support of like, hey, the current players do, you know, like him and respect him.
They locked arms on the sidelines.
Yeah. And then Jerry winked at the camera. It was incredible. It was a $1 million smile. I don't know. I mean, he addressed it. And I mean, from my perspective, I thought it would have been cool if he'd have been like, you know, like I'm genuinely sorry for making Tua feel the way that I clearly made him feel. But, you know, maybe he ends up getting a chance to actually say that to Tua. I don't need the apology, but at some point maybe he will actually say he's sorry for it. Because, yeah, like Jeff Darlington, who covers the Dolphins and stuff for ESPN, is like, yeah, there are text messages of Brian Flores texting Tua, like, you suck, and stuff like that, or texts that involved Tua sucking from the perspective of Brian Flores. Yeah, apparently that's exactly that was Hawk Tua before Hawk Tua. Mm. So and for Brian Flores, it's pretty rich to do that when it wasn't like he was setting up Tua for great success. It's not like, oh my gosh, we're putting you in awesome opportunities to be a great quarterback here. He made the dumb Bill Belichick mistake at offensive coordinator before Bill Belichick even made it. Remember, Bill Belichick goes and gives you Joe Judge and Fat Patricia, and he's like, hey, Mac Jones, figure this out. The like two guys that don't even know what they're doing and have no experience with offense, they're going to be like co-offensive coordinators for you. That's what the Dolphins did. That's what Brian Flores did. He brought in, I don't even remember their names, but two no-name dudes to be co-offensive coordinators in an offense that looked like you were playing Amish 90s football when the rest of the league was doing Kyle Shanahan and Sean McSack stuff. Like, Brian Flores should have been texted every morning, you suck at building an offensive coaching staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, my gosh, that's pretty ridiculous. His defenses were always good, but my goodness,
good,
man,
defensive
that guy
coach
did not know how to help out a quarterback. Yeah. So that is crazy though. And for him to come out and have to do this, like the save face look, like this is that type of coaching is being moved completely out of the sport. And now it's like, hey, we got build you up like guys that care about your mental health and stuff like that, coaches, and they're younger and they're more relatable to you. We're not doing the old school way of, I mean, I've never really seen a coach have to come out and defend himself like this because a player just said something about how he didn't like him.
Yeah, Chad
was that
O'Shea.
George Godsey and Eric Studesville?
Yes, there we go. Yes.
Well,
yes.
And before that, he had Chad O'Shea as his initial offensive coordinator.
Which was a guy from New England who was
awful.
Couldn't
tell you who the hell that is.
Yeah, yeah. He was a New England guy.
Part of me wishes he would have stood on it and just been like, look, the guy couldn't stay healthy. You saw some of the lowlights of him trying to throw a 20-yard out. What do you want from me? You know, I was frustrated, and he was playing like crap then. Congrats to the young man for figuring out the position. He couldn't play a lick when he was with me. You know,
right?
I think that's how an a great all time coach might handle it. You know, like Saban, Belichick. I don't think they're gonna like, you know, just own it. You know, that's what you did as a head coach. You weren't totally wrong. Like, Tua was a massive disappointment. You know, but just never head coach material, probably, is what I'm picking up from you, Chief. It's probably the consensus.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and that's pretty much par for the course as it pertains to Bill Belichick disciples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's just the way. Great defensive coordinator for sure. Brought good defenses to the table, but I mean, did not help Tua whatsoever with personnel or with strategy.
Yeah, no.
My goodness,
it was terrible, and a long line of them that under Belichick could not find any kind of success and seemed kind of toxic. I wonder if they were like trying to do a Belichick impression or do their best Belichick, and it just got away from him. You've got to be yourself. All righty. Thank you, Woolchuck. When we come back here, G-Bag Nation, a little bit of a sports hodgepodge. Where are you taking it, Eric?
We got lots to touch on here, college football as well, but I'm still completely blown away by the details of this story next year in the name.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nation.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. This segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And here's Chief with your sports hodgepodge.
Okay, Woolchuck will hopefully be here very soon. I actually, Woolchuck has a factoid about Jake Paul and how much money he is going to be making for the Tyson fight. But Woolchuck is having a fight of his own in a nearby stall. So he's had a bubble gut issue, man. And you know Woolchuck is very anti doing any type of toing in a public scenario. This is very much so 911 level emergency, like code red situation. So pulling for my guy here, and hopefully we get him in here soon so we can all guess. What would you guess, Lucius, what would you guess Jake Paul's going to make for the Tyson fight? Dawson, same to you, and then Woolchuck will give us the big reveal.
Let me see here. I'll give him 15 milli.
15 milli, yeah, 15 that seems milli. Respectable. Dawson, what's your guess on Jake Paul's purse for the Tyson fight?
I'll say more based on your response. I'll go 35 mil.
Okay. And I don't even know the answer. I just know Woolchuck has the information. So I was going to guess 15 to 20 million. You know, that seems like a pretty dang fat bag for an amateur guy fighting or whatever. But so we'll see here. Hopefully Woolchuck will come in shortly. I also need to ask him about this Chick-fil-A news that I just saw. But in the meantime, I cannot believe the details of the – I know Woolchuck said you guys discussed this Goster Sherless story of the former NFL lineman who's going nuts on an airplane, literally and metaphorically, where the quote is, he walked up to an elderly woman, exposed himself, and emptied his entire bladder, just urinating on folks. I mean, my goodness, dude. That's as crazy a story as I've heard in a while. A full fledged, just peeing on somebody, and then he backhanded an elderly person as well. He's like super ageist, I guess. My goodness, what a crazy story that is.
Yeah, we theorize that, you know, that it had sounded like maybe a lot of alcohol and some anti-anxiety medication that people can have some pretty bizarre blackouts from. But yeah, you know, not his best moment, and I don't think he'll be on a plane ever again, unless, you know, it's a private flight.
I certainly hope he doesn't ever pee on a plane again. Now, if he, I wonder, whatever that medicine is, we're going to have to go back to that commercial. And when the guy starts talking really fast about what can happen to you, he better have said you might urinate on an elderly woman and you might slap her husband as well.
The no-fly list.
Otherwise,
slapped
her husband. I mean, oh, no. My goodness, dude.
Yeah.
That's buckwild.
I thought I had it bad with the knees in my back, you know,
yeah.
2 hours from Vegas.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse, man.
Yeah.
Have been a lot worse. Okay, Walchuk is here for the big reveal. First and foremost, how are you?
And I'm not feeling very good.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. But we're okay. Luckily, now's a great time to take advantage of the ladies' restroom here.
No question about it.
Might
yeah.
be time to get in on the fiber-thin life, Walchuk.
It could be. Well, luckily, it's not that the backed-up issue. It's,
this is a floodgate situation.
It's like the Pepto-Bismol's needed, I think.
Okay. And I believe, Dawson, if you're curious, this is a leftover pasta situation. Pasta probably left out too long, goes back into the fridge. Walchuk's
yeah.
too lazy to make himself dinner.
It wasn't yeah, you're right.
So then he's like, I'll just go back to the pasta well here. Mm-hmm. But that well was, that was a bit of a cesspool.
I think that's what
it was. It was a
gusher. Literally a gusher. Yes. In a bad way.
Okay. Well, Walchuk, what is the correct answer to Jake Paul's purse for the Mike Tyson fight?
Okay, I heard your guesses. They're all very low. Very low.
Even after the taxes.
Now, I don't know that. Like, what is,
we're talking about just the net here,
like, this
Walchuk.
Is just,
obviously,
this
we're
is
talking about the gross.
Jake Paul says that what he's making. Now, after taxes and all of that, it's probably not quite this amount, Lucius. But he's
75
just,
million.
No, not 75. It
50
is,
million.
You're getting closer. You're getting closer.
45
well,
million.
Well, you said 35 was way under.
Did you guess 35? I thought you guessed 5.
Yeah. No, I guess 35.
No, 35, you were close. You were in the ballpark there. 40 million is what Jake Paul is getting.
Wow.
He said, I'm here to make $40 million and knock out a legend when he did his presser over the weekend with Mike Tyson.
I mean, you're getting boxing history money here. You're getting pop culture money here. You know, there's so many people that are interested in buying this fight. You know, the generation of fans that always wanted to see another Tyson fight, just kind of relive the nostalgia of it. The thing that's sad, I think us Tyson fans are going to be disappointed with how this thing goes down. Hate to say it. I think Jake Paul's going to whoop that old man. You know, Father Time's undefeated. I don't care how bad you were when you were 20. If you're damn near 60. I'm nervous for our guy. More nervous than I would be for an Errol Spence fight right now. Put
wow.
in context.
That's saying something. That's saying something for real. I've been rocking the Mike Tyson's going to win this thing, but then you get the stomach ulcer and I mean and then also Jake Paul now getting like another 5 or 6 months or whatever to prepare and sharpen his skills or whatever.
Got another fight in even.
I'll definitely be ready to watch. That's for sure. Now, how about
we don't
this?
Know how much Mike could make.
Yeah. No, I saw the report is assuming he's making at least $30
million. Oh, boy.
Wow, so Jake Paul is getting more money than
Jake Paul is the A-side on this fight.
Say it ain't so.
Jeez.
I mean, he's probably bringing, he's bringing more eyeballs based on his following and all the
Is it like people want to see?
The youth of a generation?
Can Mike KO Jake Paul?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. That's a heck of a lot of money, dude.
It
Good
is.
Good for him. What is? I don't even understand how this is going to work. But the Oklahoma State football team is—they've announced that players are going to be wearing helmets with QR codes linked to the team's general NIL fund. So
you can cash out a player while they're playing. Is that what you're telling me?
I think that's the idea of it, Lucius. But I have no understanding of how I'm supposed to, while I'm watching from my couch, scan a QR code on the back of a player's helmet. How do I actually execute
pause?
This? Maybe I'm sitting there and my guy just scored a touchdown. I'm like, yeah. I want to give him. Let me get my boy $10 here.
What a hell of a block by that left tackle.
Yeah,
let me go ahead and send 10 on real quick.
Give that man 20 bucks. Yeah, that was a pancake. Maybe you make a personal, you know, a personal vow to yourself. Like every time a guy gets a pancake, he's getting $5-$10. You get to go buy a nice little stack of pancakes at the IHOP or whatever in Austin. Here's $5-$10 to go towards that. In Stillwater, but. How am I? Do I have to pause my TV and wait for them to show a QR code so that I can scan it. I just don't understand how you're executing something like this.
Yeah, I think it's either pausing or you're running up to the TV real quick. You've got the photo open, you know, your camera open, and I guess that's the only way this works. Unless you go online or something and the QR codes are available.
But I just don't understand, then what's the point of having it on the back of the helmet? I'm assuming it's on the back of the helmet because I'm able to scan it and pay my guy right now.
Well, you definitely can't do it if you're at the stadium.
And then, if I'm a fan at the stadium, like, what am I supposed to do here? I don't know. I just don't understand how this is going to work, but apparently this is the evolution of college football and NILs and getting money in the players' pockets. So I'm here for it. I just want to know how it's supposed to be executed because I've gotten nothing in terms of information on how this works.
Yeah, and can I take my money back if he turns it over, you know? I have some questions here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is there take backs? What's the deal with the take backs? Now, also, what's the deal, Wolchuk? You are a resident Chick-fil-A insider, as a man who worked, I mean, upwards of a decade, right?
Yeah.
In totality, and at one point you even managed a location. I mean, you were up in the hierarchy, man.
Yeah.
Up in the hierarchy, making schedules and stuff, you know, putting out fires when you got a bunch of high school kids working underneath you and you have to let them know who's boss.
Pain in the ass.
And so for Wolchuk, he got ahead of the curve on a lot of information. He lets us know things about what Chick-fil-A has, you know, up their sleeve. I was not expecting this one, Wolchuk. Chick-fil-A moving aggressively into the entertainment industry with plans to develop multiple series for their own streaming platform. This according to Deadline. So Chick-fil-A is turning themselves into a streaming service / production company. They have so much money that they're ready to, they could just start making content right now. I don't even know what to say.
They have, I know, okay, well, Chuck, you can help me out with this one. Don't they have like a camp for people that want to work for Chick-fil-A and you guys are gone for like 2 weeks and you're working on figuring out how to be a Chick-fil-A employee the best way?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you want to be an operator, you're going to Atlanta, you're flying in.
Chick-fil-A reality show?
There we go, there's your first season.
How to become an operator?
Yeah, they're very selective on that process, so That could be one of the ideas here. Absolutely.
It's going to be some seriously wholesome content. You do know that.
They're so nice there, man.
They're so kind.
They've been running out your little salad to you. Oh, here you go, sir.
Like, man, so sorry about that. Two-second wait.
Yeah, I love them over there,
Let me get
there,
the
man.
Door for you.
It's so nice.
Yeah. Second mile service. That's what we're calling it.
We have no idea if the streaming service will work on Sundays, but I will continue to monitor as to understand whether or not you'll be able to view whatever it is they're cranking out content-wise. Chick-fil-A getting into the content game. This is insane.
Honestly, it's probably genius. They're probably going to make a ton of money off of this.
Do you ever get the Chick-fil-A drive-thru person that's just like a tiny bit rude and you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to get fired so quick?
Yeah, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, you're not,
they're not long for that world.
Yeah. I don't know how that one slipped through the cracks, but from time to time,
we were desperate.
Somebody,
we were desperate and short-staffed.
If they're not saying my pleasure, you're like, what are we doing here?
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Nice little sports hodgepodge here for you on a Wednesday night. Rangers are off tomorrow. They won a series, guys. They took 2 of 3 from the Pirates. One zip. Bang, bang. Your guy with the RBI single in the bottom of the ninth inning. They went like 22 and two-thirds innings without scoring a run here during this series, but they managed to win it. So that might be the most Ranger thing you'll hear all season long. But when we come back, it is time to crosstalk with the Get Right, see what they have cooking. That's coming up next, the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius, and thanks to you for making the G-Bag Nation part of your day. We are now going to step aside for the Get Right coming up from 7 to 11. Had day baseball. Rangers got the 1-0 win against the Pirates off tomorrow, and we'll visit the Cleveland Guardians on Friday as we talk now with the Get Right, see what they have cooking for you in tonight's configuration. Blake and Fred, gentlemen, good evening. How the heck are you?
Man, it's Wednesday. We're feeling good about things. We're just chopping it up with you know, Chief and Wolchuk about this Cowboys deep defensive line. I mean, could you ask for a better setup on a Wednesday afternoon?
I don't think so. You know,
I mean, I'm sure you could, but
maybe a little cooler, about 15 degrees cooler.
There is that.
I'll take
there
it.
Is that.
Gavin, I will say I'm out of the loop. Where are you at? I see the green screen. I'm looking at the fan cam. Can you give me
like
your exact
gamer
location?
Chair you got going on there?
Are you
too?
Streaming
your
right
exact
now?
Location, address, and all?
Are you calling us midstream? Are you like streaming some games?
Right now? He's peeing on the toilet right now.
This is Studio G. This is my home studio. It is the it's the closet off of my office.
Okay.
It's probably, I don't know, 6 feet by 6 feet or something, but I put up a bunch of green wallpaper, so you know it could be green screened.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I can make it look fancy or outdoors or something behind me. But well, yeah, this is where I game and work. This is okay. pretty much my cave.
Okay, I like
okay.
it.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
It's the 4 foot by 4 foot area that he's allowed to just completely own in his house.
Exactly, dude. I'm the boss.
Dang right
inside,
you are.
Inside this arena.
There's man cave, there's man closet. So you
know. I got a lock on the door as well.
Oh,
do you really?
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I gotta graduate to that.
I'm working up the guts to ask for permission to get an AC vent in here and maybe like a power outlet.
Is that kind of like your
gosh,
panic
you got
room?
Balls, bro.
You're giving me kind of like Jodie Foster vibes. That's, you know, you're giving me panic room vibes in there.
Yeah. Well, you hopefully know, it might be Jodie somebody Foster else's panic. If you know what I'm saying. I'm a little bit more of an Anthony Hopkins than a Jodie Foster, whatever you said. But
so God forbid, like if, you know, if the house ever got ransacked or something, the family would go run into, you know,
the
Gavin's
green screen room.
Gavin's yeah, green screen yeah. room.
He gives him permission.
Yeah.
Provided you let good. Everybody go in.
Yes, sir. So what's coming up on the show today?
Well, look, we've got a little, we're going to talk a little math tonight. Obviously we're going to get into some Cowboys nice. And that being, you know, look, as uneventful as the off season was, now that we're, you know, getting ready to break camp, outside of CD not being part of the team yet, I think we can all agree short of Sam Williams, this has been a productive training camp so far, right? I mean, you feel
oh,
good about the direction. Yes, would we love to have Dak under contract? Well, maybe not everybody, but you know, you'd at least like to have CD under contract, maybe a different running back room, but all things being equal, your defense is probably better than last year, and once you get 88 back in the fold, this is a team that after as moribund as the offseason was, you feel pretty good about, you know, what the 2024 season is going to look like.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I think it's just a matter of how much more optimism does it deserve. You know, what we've seen in the last, is it 4 weeks? What would you say, Wolchuk? How much more optimism does what we've seen from the Cowboys, good young linemen, better linebackers, adding to the defensive line, what's that worth to you?
I mean, if you thought that they were a 9-win team, maybe they're a 10-win team, right? Like, I think that they're probably optimistically, if I'm trying to put a value to it, it's probably a game better based on Guyton and Beebe look like the real deal.
Yeah, they do.
And to me, I think the defense is going to be better. I mean, I don't know that there's any real optimism to have once the script flips and you get to January and the postseason that anything will change there.
Right. I got to ask you guys, you know what a haiku is?
Yeah, that's a Japanese poem.
Isn't it? Right? It's like,
thank you. Thank you. How poetry. Long is it?
But it's six lines? It?
Three.
Okay.
Three.
Doubled it.
575 mm-hmm. syllables. Okay. Okay. So I had to school. Apparently, the education system here, especially North Texas, is failing
oh, wow.
our
took
youngsters.
A shot at half
well,
a
we
show.
Didn't do anything limerick. you know, I was out of that.
Dickery
it's
doc.
Been a while now.
So we're breaking out a segment I used to do back in the day, back in H-Town, called Haiku Hump Day. Why? Because it's a hump day and it's, well, haikus. Okay? And so yeah. We got two topics okay. for each haiku. Today it's going to be CeeDee Lamb and?
Fast food.
All right? So we invite the Tolos. That's going to go down at 8:40. All right? You can text in 877-881-1059. And again, as we had to, mm-hmm. you know, tell Kevin Walker about 17 different times, 5-7-5, and that's syllables. You can clap it out for those at home that are still trying to figure out how you
so
count
the Tolos
syllables.
Can text in their haikus.
Absolutely.
As it relates to CeeDee Lamb and fast food.
And fast food.
Two of my favorite
okay.
things.
I mean, come
okay.
on.
Or CeeDee Lamb at a fast food spot.
Combine them.
If you're blown away at Blake's lack of poetry knowledge, you should start quizzing him about the like
geography.
Geography. No, no. I was... Blake came strong. I'll give him credit because he really locked in. I was a little nervous once he kind of figured it out. I was a little. Now Kevin Walker is going to be kind of the litmus test as
another
to
North
how
Texas
this
guy.
Thing plays. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So that should be interesting. 8:40. Tune in. Look, I got fired once over.
This is probably
over
be
a haiku.
A you and a you thing
you got
only.
Fired
here,
over a haiku.
100%. 100%. I had to ask Gavin before he left. I said, "Are you cool if I do this again?"
Don't say what you said.
Oh no, I'll tell you guys during
just
the break.
Just addicted to it, huh? You just can't leave it alone, can you?
It's gonna work somewhere, damn it! I'm telling you.
Well, you know, look, I've learned my lesson. It is a rap lyric. We'll just leave it at that. But no, it's radio gold. Okay, it is radio gold. And like I said, I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good haiku? We're educational.
Well, we do have a tradition of Radio Gold and Haiku here on 105.9 The Fan, so you'll fit right in tonight, buddy.
That's right. Like, yeah, we will.
I think that has a good ring.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here comes the Get Right with Blake and Fred. This evening's configuration brought us on his way back. He'll join us tomorrow once again for Lucius in the Pimp Cup. Carter Freeman coordinating that video. We'll Chuck and Chia follow. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation at ease.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.